Hello and welcome to the Pages Speak.
All right.
I'm Stephanie Page.
And I'm Joe Nathan Lee Page.
And tonight we are going to be talking about why the church differentiates between, you know, different sexual sins and different actions, you know, sex in the church.
Oh, how? Yeah, we're going to talk about why people major and minor on certain things and why certain things are taboo and other things are tolerable.
It's interesting because in one sense, we sort of use it to even, you know, cause even more division. It sort of causes us to sort of like lose track, you know, of the things that are important. It's like, when you start talking about sex, everybody's like, ooh,
wait a minute. You're talking about going into my bedroom,
trying
to figure out what I'm doing.
And, and the thing is, you know, it's not like we have a great big interest on everything that's going on in everybody's bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you know, the church does. And don't get me wrong. You know, there's some things, a lot of things that the church is like, listen, or the Bible, God himself is like, listen. You know, these are some things you don't need to be participating in,
okay.
You know? And so, you know, the Bible list talks about fornication, adultery.
Mm.
It talks about, you know, laying down with, effeminate men. It talks about all of these things. And even, you know, as far as making things an abomination, you know, as far as God is like, really, just don't do it.
Right.
But the thing is with the church, it's like we will, like you said, we'll put a great big banner on top of certain sins and other sins. We'll just like turn the side, you know, just turn and look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think a lot of that has to do with some of the things that, you know, some things we can see ourselves sort of falling into.
Right.
You know, or things we've done before.
Yeah.
So if it's stuff that... If it's stuff we've done before, a lot of times we'll diminish how bad that is, you know, because we don't want to feel, you know, like, you know, we really, really bad. And then we'll like point to somebody else like, OK, I may have did this, but look at them. It's almost like, what is that, deflection?
You know?
Let me get the attention off of me.
Take the light off of me.
Yeah, take the light off of me. So we're going to point to those who are doing things that we may not necessarily participate in.
Oh, come on now.
You know?
We're gonna talk about it.
Well, yeah, you know, we need to talk about it. So the things that we think are beyond us, the sins that we think, the sexual sins that we think are beyond us are the ones we point to.
Or are we talking about sex in the marital bed, or are we talking outside? Because when you're talking about the marital bed, the bed is supposed to be on the fire. You know, it's supposed to be all, you know, all things out the door. I don't think you want to bring no sheep and goats into it. But I'm just talking. But I ain't never had no, I'm trying to take the light off of me because I ain't never had no sheep and goats in me in your bed.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. But the thing is, I think it's even like beyond that. Because like I said, I don't even know. The church, I don't think, messes with people that are married.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah, they do. Like if you start talking about oral sex and you start talking about fellatio, you start talking about those type of things, people don't necessarily want to talk about that type of stuff. When you start talking about one of my messed up words that I say is the back door. But so people are inhibited. Like, you know, there's people that, you know, they when they was in the world, they was doing all of that. They was getting it in. You know what I'm saying? And then we get in the church and then we say, oh, that you should probably do. I've heard preachers, pastors say that it's not something that you do, even in the marital situation, because it was something that was a little too kinky.
Goodness. Okay, but again,
come on, y'all.
But don't you think, again, for the most part, when you're married, because you know, all I can't even talk.
Pre-packed promo.
Most pastors or preachers or whatever will say, you know, whatever happens in your marital bed, that's in your marital bed. And the marital bed is undefiled. Mm. And I think we're at the point where most people are like, oh, you married, that's your business. You know, that's your business. Unless you bring in extra people. Time. You know, but there is like a wave.
Okay.
Of, you know, people like expanding their borders in their rooms. Okay. But the thing is, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, oftentimes, you know, in the church, again, we'll hound on the gays.
Yeah.
We'll hound on we'll hound on.
But this ain't,
you know, people will have children out of wedlock.
Okay. We do a lot of that.
We'll hound on, you know, just certain things, and other things will just look the other way.
Hmm.
It's like, especially if, and don't get mad at me, but especially if it's the musicians doing it.
Ooh.
You know, they ignore them a lot. But
they still gotta play instruments and sing on Sunday.
Why are you doing that though? Okay.
I'm doing a Rudy Ray Moe.
Oh. Okay, so, but again, why do we do that? It's like, so even with that, it's like, so do we only point out the sins or the things that will possibly, for the people who don't necessarily affect us as much, you know? So when you have a talented singer or a talented musician, mm-hmm. you sort of look the other way. But if it's a pew member, it's like, look at them.
Well, you gotta have some people to be the scapegoat and keep it off of you.
But see,
and your proclivity.
And this is my question though. How do they know what's really going on in the marital bed in order to harp on people about, you know, fellatio?
That's true.
Unless it's been revealed in a private setting, and you know, and then they come up and throw it off the pool.
Or they could be doing it and may not be feeling too good about themselves.
Oh, okay.
And feeling nasty about it.
Okay. So, again, in the church, a lot of times we only talk about certain sexual sins.
Okay.
We let a lot of fornication, you know, go. We let a lot of adultery go.
Okay.
Even to the point of, I was listening to this story, and it was a high-positioned clergyman,
and high position
clergyman.
Okay.
And I like the way I put that. Anyway, and when he got, you know, sort of found out doing some things, you know, that he ought not to have been doing, he sort of bullied people into silence about his stuff, but then blasted other people about theirs. So we've seen that often.
Yeah,
we've seen that quite often, you know, within the body of Christ. It's like, if it's something that I'm not doing, I'm going to talk about it. But, you know, if you doing it, I'm going to talk about you doing it. But if I'm doing it, you know, we just going to keep that on the QT, you know, quiet tip. We just not going to tell anybody. And so, you know, but when we look at, you know, the church, we tend to, when it comes to things that people are like, the sin, especially sexual sin, we tend to harp on that a little more than other sins.
Don't do it. Don't touch that.
But we do. It's like at the same point, you know, he's talking about, you know, homosexuality being an abomination. He also talks about backbiters and
liars
and gossipers.
Drunkards.
Yeah. And the
whoremongers.
Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, even with those, you know, within the church, it's not as much of a focus. We know people who have shown up to church drunk and don't nobody say nothing, you know? Right. But but it's.
But
like,
I think that's a good thing, because you allow God to deal with the situation instead of like blasting somebody like you drunk. You know, wouldn't that be kind of strange?
That would.
You come
be
in
strange.
Drunk and they just be on you. Hey, you drunk?
Okay.
Look at you slumbering. Are you stumbling in here?
But I'm gonna play the advocate though. I'm gonna play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I'm not the devil's advocate, but I'm gonna play it.
Okay.
Anyway, but the truth of the matter is, you know, if someone does come in, that's not holy behavior.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you are looking for, you know, holy behavior, then shouldn't that person that comes in drunk, shouldn't they be called out in front of, you know, the entirety of the congregation? Shouldn't they be called out and put on blast so that everyone else would know that they should not participate in that kind of behavior?
Well, I think that no. I think that you, if you don't know what the man is going through, I mean, people use those vices to cover up things. So they got problems at home, problems on the job, problems with the kids, and they just trying to, you know, numb themselves. I think a lot of times we use even the sexual things to try to numb ourselves, to try to get a release of some kind to be able to cope with life.
Okay. So, but with that said, you know, people in the church, you know, use sex the same way everybody else uses sex, like you said it.
Yeah.
In order to find a release or in order to relieve some stress. Is that the right usage?
I think if you, it depends. I think if you know better, you can do better.
Okay.
I think some people don't really see it as
a vice
when they're doing it. I think they see it as, you know, they'll see it in a different way because they don't know of any other outlets but that.
Okay.
Like smoking weed. I mean, back in the day when I smoked weed, I was smoking weed. At first, it started out just trying to have fun. I just liked being in that state, and I was just having fun. I didn't see it as a problem because it was like a social move.
Okay.
And it made me feel like I can, you know, be a little more loose.
You know, and be listening to what's her name? Jasmine Sullivan.
Okay.
Jasmine Sullivan. And what was Hotels? It was Hotels. H E A U X Tales. And so there is this one story on there where it was a young lady. And she was saying, with everything out here in the world, where you have trying to compete against the Instagram models and trying to compete against all these, you know, wonderful people, that, you know, the one thing she can fall back on in order to get a guy is sex. So she uses sex in order to draw people in, you know, in order to keep a man, you know, she uses sex. And so when I thought about it, I was like, dang, that is so sad.
But where do you learn that?
Where do you learn that?
I think it's a learned behavior that you've seen somebody else do it, and you've seen somebody else who use sex to be able to get certain benefits from it, and you learn it from a learned behavior. I think in the streets, I could say that certain learned behaviors that people indulged in because they saw other people doing it, so they figured that it could work for them, and then they start taking on those.
Okay, so in looking at that, you know, that, you know, where you feel powerless or unwanted unless you're utilizing your sexual prowess.
Okay.
And the same thing goes for men. Some men find a power in how they, you know, do.
Some women find their power.
Well.
And how they do.
That's, you know what? That's true too. So that's
romance without finding.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
Ted. Oh, Lord. So the thing is, though, in regards to the church and sex, we look at the actions, we look at the acts, we look at, you know, how certain people do particular actions, but we really don't look at the roots to a lot of the stuff that's going on in regards to the church. So in the church, we'll differentiate different sexual actions, we'll set this group aside, we'll call this group out, we'll, you know, punish this group over here, but the truth of the matter is, are we really getting to the roots of the action? So if you have women that feel as though the only power or the only time they feel powerful is in the bed, and you have men that feel as though the only power they feel is in the bed, and then you have young girls that say, okay, I know if I want to get some money, I just know this is something I can use. And they again feel powerless outside of that. And a young person, I think a person just, it could have been from becoming molested as a child. That, let me tell you, there's a lot of molestation that has happened to a lot of people, and to the point where, you know, sex has been twisted. But again, as a church, when we attend, a lot of times we point out people's actions and we turn people into mariahs and we curse them all to hell. you know, just on a constant basis, we'll come up in the pulpit and we'll, like I said, if you have a child out of wedlock, you know, I'm not baptizing your child. Or if you, you know, do this, we point out people without really getting to the roots of the stuff and really looking at the purpose of sex, how sex is being used, why people are having sex. Is it because you're lonely? Sometimes it's just lonely. You just want some, you know, company.
You just want to get,
sometimes you've been, I'm just going to say this, you've been touch. Opened up early, you know, because you've been touched. So you've been opened up early. And so now you've got this, you know, once you've been opened up, it's hard to reel it back in.
Okay.
Some, especially a lot of homosexual relationships were came from molestation early on, and then it's hard to reel it back in once you've been sort of like open up to it.
Right.
So in looking at that, how we're dealing, how do we deal with it? Because oftentimes we look at people, we point at people, we make people pariahs, we differentiate, especially within sexual sins and other sins.
Yeah.
Because we don't nearly get on the gossiper as much as we get on, you know, sexual sins. We definitely don't get on the backbiters nearly as much as we get on sexual sins in the church in general. But are we really dealing with the roots of the problems? Are we really getting to the roots of why, you know, people are using sex as a pacifier?
Well, one of the things I think what we're doing right now is having a conversation about it. And I think that people need to be able to be free to talk about certain things that are going on in their lives and not feel judged by it.
Yes.
And because it's open, because you try to open it up as a good dialogue and make people feel free enough to, I don't want to say expose themselves, but allow themselves to pour out in a safe environment where they can just talk about the things, because everything that they're going through, they just have to change the mindset. I mean, it's just like when we came in through whatever sin we came in, whatever the sins that we dealt with, we had to change our mindset. And sometimes that mindset, religion will cause people not to be able to talk. It's how religious people think sometimes they're better than a person who's coming in out, fresh out, because they've been saved for a while. So now they're looking at them. If they start talking about what they've been through, they'll find themselves more than not, you know, in today's and pretty much the other days of past of old, they find themselves being judged.
So basically what you're saying is because of the way that, like I said, the church deals with sexual situations.
Any sin. The way they deal with any sin.
That it makes it very difficult in order for people.
I can't get free if I can't be safe enough to be able to know
expose that what you're dealing with.
What, if I talk to you about my proclivities or anything I'm doing and you use it to beat me down with the word and not open up a real dialogue with some real conversation, I'm not going to come to you again. It's like, you know, I'm not going to just keep on coming to you and everything I'm trying to get free from, you making me feel bound because I can't get free.
So now, because now we're putting guilt and condemnation on top of, let's say, the shame or whatever you may have felt about it, about even whatever it is. Well, this is another, I have a question then. Do you feel as though, like, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle? Like once you stepped into some sexual sin, it's hard to put
you
that
need
in
the help because, of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, because it's
you
like
the help of God.
It's like, you know, like let's say other sins, and the Bible talks about when you know fornicate and sexual sins, flee fornication. Because if you know fornication, you sin with your whole with your body.
Yeah.
You know, and then your body again is awakened to desires and experiences.
And the feelings.
And that's another reason why, you know, it's really hard because it's a lot of molestation that has gone on throughout the church and with church people. I know I was molested as a child. I know a lot of people who are molested as a child. And it awakened you to sex and sexual desires at an early age in a way that you didn't understand it. And so then, you know, you continue on in that path and then you come to church and they're like, okay, well, stop doing it. But your body is like, you know, and then if you talk about, you know, the church never really has a real conversation about masturbation.
Ooh.
you know, they never have a real conversation about masturbation because it's like, you know, if you, you know, that's they consider that, you know, you're having sex with yourself.
So basically, you better put that away and you better not touch it again.
Yeah. And even though, but I'm just saying, though, you know, when you're open up, you know, your spirit is opened up to some things, you're open up to a perversion. And we can say, you know, well, just like they say, pray the gay away. But can you just pray the horniness away? You know, well, I'm just saying, it's like, you know, we try to say, well, you know, we'll just pray about it. But then when you by yourself, you've already been opened up to sin. You've already been opened up to, you know, your sexual desires are already open.
Right.
It's hard to put that genie back in the bottle once it's open. So it's like as a church, you know, we have to have deliverance. Yes. We have to have inner healing. We have to really talk about those issues. And then the Bible tells us that we have to bear one another's burdens. Yeah. So then there needs to be something really put in place the middle of the night and you having some urges that's about to make you pick up the phone, you know, to do some stuff, or about to make you run back to your ex because, you know, he did things a certain way,
yeah.
Or, you know, about to make you step back into some things that there's, you know, some support.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, if everybody's ashamed to talk about the stuff they're dealing with, how can you even set up a support group? You know, what do you have? The happy horny support group, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm happy.
The Friday night horny support group. You know, it's like it's Friday night. I'm feeling some type of way. You know, what am I doing? You know, what do you do in order to, you know, to deal with these things?
Yeah.
So we as a church, we really got to start getting real with it. Instead of pointing fingers, recognizing we have all sinned.
Yes.
We've all fallen short in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, if you want to condemn me, you know, for fornicating, you know, previously or struggling with my fornication, it's the same condemnation I can bring about you about gossiping about it. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, but, you know, we have Alcoholics Anonymous and we have Drug Anonymous, you know, to deal with things. But maybe we need to have
Horny Anonymous.
I don't know.
Horny
Something
anonymous.
That'll support one another as we're going through urges. Like you said, if we're dealing with a feeling like you feel power whenever you have sex with somebody, you know, so when you're feeling powerless, you need to go do that. Or a lot of other issues that may be underlying that. Mm-hmm. But the way that we currently deal with sex in the church has not been as effective as it needs to be because, you know, yes, we do inner healing deliverance. And I know there are a lot of people that have come out from under, you know, many addictions, many things. But I also know it's a whole lot of stuff going on. And even to the point, like when the doors to the church close down, it's a lot of people that have been struggling because there was not enough, you know, of a support group. And the church is supposed to be like a
trust.
Family. People you can trust that you know not going to gossip about you, talk about you, or, you know, really, you know,
run you down
and make you feel terrible.
You got holes in your back from so many people biting your back out.
What?
Just holes in your back biting. Okay. You feeling? You walking around? They talking about you so bad. You just help me. But you know, we need to be able to get real. And I think that the church has been a place where it should be a place where you can get real. Because think about it, it's like a jack in the box. Mm-hmm. You know how you put your hands on the jack of box, you start cranking it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody in sin, right? They're cranking up. They've been holding it back. They've been doing it on their own. They've been basically holding themselves in. And all of a sudden, the pressure gets so strong. And once they pop out, it's like, I got to get it in because it's been a long time, a drought.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get it in. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to binge. If it's drugs, if it's, you know, if it's drinking, if it's sex, whatever your vice may be. Once you go in, how do you deal with that? And see, that's the thing. Like, the church should have the answer Sometimes we don't have the answer, but, and we should be okay with that, mm-hmm. but we should be seeking the answer, how to get people free enough to get from up under those pressures. And I think that, like, trust is going to be the real key mm-hmm. for the church to start learning how to build trust with the people.
You know, I understand more and more why Jesus said, you know, to judge not, even though people, you know, everyone comes with their reasons why they think it's okay for them to judge. Mm-hmm. I believe one of the reasons why God tells you, you know, listen, this is a command, just love.
Yeah.
It's because A, you don't know the deep issues that people are dealing with that has caused them or causing them to fall off. Again, a lot of times they are roots that we may not even know about.
Okay.
Another reason why is because when you're judging a person, you're less likely to take on a position of empathy to really be able to help them. And Jesus is a righteous judge to the point mm-hmm. where he has suffered with, and he was a man. He was man and God. And so that makes him righteous because he knows what it is to walk in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So he can be a righteous judge. He has empathy. You know, yeah. he walked the walk. He knows the feelings and the struggles that people really go through dealing with the flesh. And even after being born again, there's still a process of maturing and growing up. Mm. And a lot of times when people are maturing and growing up, it's just like a baby learning how to walk. They'll fall. But if when a person falls, you walk over and kick them or push them back down, they're either never to get up or they're going to curl up into a fetal position and never get up and try to walk again. And so we really have to, like, what do we want? Do we want to exalt ourselves over people and make ourselves feel better by okay. pointing to other people's issues? Or do we want to love people to Christ and be a part of the ministry of reconciliation yeah. to bring them to Christ so that they can be strengthened by their spirit, where they can have deliverance, they can have help, they can have support, they can have people, you know, bearing their burdens without, you know, pointing a finger at them? So it's like, what do we want? Do we want to exalt ourselves over people by forgetting that we have sinned and done some stuff that we ought not have done and not even talk? I mean, you know, a lot of preachers or pastors don't even make themselves relatable in regards to talking about the stuff that they True. Have done. You True. Know what I'm saying? True. It's, you know, they ain't going to tell you if they participated in fellatio or
I got to stay in my position.
That, you know, and they got to be looked at a certain way to yeah. the point that they can't really be relatable enough to really help the people that they need to help. Okay. But the thing is, if I've been there and if God has brought me out, guess who knows the way how to get out?
Well, let me say this.
You know?
There is never a time that people are not going to sin. Mm. I'm just being real with you. And I'm talking as a pastor and the leader in the church. We all deal with sin. Whether you dealing with some stuff in the closet, whether you're doing stuff, you're mm-hmm. giving somebody the bird on the highway, you know, went off on your kids and cussed them out. I'm going to break your back. We have to get out of this thing of being trying
but
to be perfect.
Come
on, if you ain't never went off on your child, you ain't never been in parenting. You ain't never been fed up with your child in the church. Come on now. Johnny Raider got on your last nerve and you lost it.
But you know, this is what's funny though. That's the reason why a lot of pastors and bishops and preachers and whoever else don't let people in their house.
Because they know they be sinning. They be going crazy.
Because they know.
Jumping off
if you spent enough time with them in their house, you're going to see something.
You're going to see a scene.
And you're going to be like, what? They human. What? What? Wait, they told us to put them up on the holy pedestal because only they could talk to God. They supposed to be up on the holy pedestal above everybody else. And then you let them up in the house.
They done
kicked the dog. They done flipped over the dinner. They done acted a toad in nut, you know. Enough. And then people were like, oh, you know.
I didn't know he was like that.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I didn't know he, ooh, he can really break out some pleasantries. He can let him fly, man. We didn't know Pastor could cuss like that. Pastor let him go. He, he still remembering them cuss words from the world.
But the thing is, it's like, we have to do better. We have to do better in the church and being real and talking about the situations with sin, not making people who sin one way sexually and not another way sexually feel different than the other person that feels sexually, you know, who sin sexually. Because, oh, they do. Oh, I used to do that, so I can relate to them. Wink, wink. Oh, you do that. I would never. You know what I'm saying? But and I'm then thinking, differentiate. Or, you know, or like you said, judge, but not be willing to look at yourself and the things that you are doing, you know?
So, what is a sexual sin in marriage?
Adultery.
Okay, that adultery. But I'm talking about the other little things that people enjoy. That people
I'm
may
not
say,
touching that with a 10-foot ball.
Amen. But I will. Let me say it. Sometimes, I mean, but the I think that we need I think that we need to do.
I'm holding on, y'all. I'm holding on.
No, I'm not gonna, you know, I ain't gonna do all that. But I'm just saying we need to talk and we need to have discussions.
Yes.
And we need to let some things go and realize that in the marriage, you know, some things in the marriage outside of adultery and all the other things, they okay. Should you give that up when you get married? You ain't gonna talk about that. Huh? All right, moving on.
What's in my bed is in my bed.
All right.
Okay. Unless I bring somebody else in the bed, then I'm just all kinds of wrong. Then that's adultery and, you know, whatever. That's a hot mess. Ooh. But, you know, a lot of people do that, but we ain't even going there either. If that's the case, that's
swing
because,
it.
That's because.
Swinging.
Ooh, Lord.
Swinging from the chandelier. The chandelier.
So, again, what's the underlying issue with that? You understand what I'm saying? Why is a person going from one sexual conquest to another? Why does a person have to keep, just like they got to keep upping the ante of excitement?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We got to take it to another level. Take it to another level.
This
take
ain't
it to
electric
another level.
Enough. I need
because,
two or three goats.
But the truth of the matter, why you keep going with the dang on goat? The fact of the matter is, if they
this
keep ramping it
enough.
Up, if they keep ramping it up, it's because they're trying to fulfill something that sex ain't going to fulfill.
I need to ramp it up. I need some electrical wires.
Let me say that again. If they keep ramping it up, it's because they're trying to fulfill something that sex will not fulfill.
Okay, true.
Because sex is not meant to be a thrill ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be an intimate
partnership
between two married people where the two become one. Yeah. And so, you know, so when you keep, you know, ramping it up, it's because, you know, you've turned into a thrill ride and you want to, you know, take
I need some electricity.
And it's not so much the intimate act of becoming one with another, being joined together and spiritually connecting as one.
Yes.
So when you take the spiritual aspect out of it and it's just an amusement ride,
come on,
and it's
now,
just like every
coaster?
Other amusement ride,
I
they keep
go.
Adding more loops and then more different stuff because you're trying to get the thrill.
Or they're trying to take it
to
the max.
And that's another thing because you've made this your source for excitement and relief and everything else when you're supposed to be casting all your cares upon God.
Mm.
And because you've made this your stress relief,
really?
Then when you go and you have a little bit of stress relief, but it's not relieving it as much as you think it needs to be relieved.
Right.
Then you need to, you're going to up the ante, you know.
It's like stopping a roller coaster in the middle of the ride.
Huh? What?
It's like stopping a roller coaster. You're having fun going through the thing and all of a sudden it stopped. You're like, what's going on? Why we ain't finished? Why we ain't there yet?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not get that, but you'll get that when you get to the house.
Okay. All I'm saying is that, you know, we have to deal with these things and we really got to get to the root of it. We really have to start talking about, are there people, you know, again, there, some marriages are like, the only reason why I'm married is so I can have sex without going to hell.
Okay. And they bring it into the marital situation and they just want that same intensity. And the person may not be entertaining that.
Yeah, and because that's, it's too that's much. But that's because again, you've turned this, like I said, sex has now become, you know, a thrill ride instead mm-hmm. of the intimate oneness that is spiritual connection that it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. And so again, all of these are things we need to talk about in the church. All of these are things we need to deal with in the church. All of these are things that, you know, we need to talk to one another, be real with one another, and put this stuff out. But we really got to stop dividing people because of their sexual issues. In other words, pushing people away.
It's all the same.
So if one person has one sexual proclivity and another person has another sexual proclivity, anything that they are using that has set them outside of the will of God because it's not being used to come together spiritually as one, then we need to deal with the root causes of that. So I just want to encourage, you know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage, you know, everybody out there, you know, pastors, whoever, you know, apostles, bishops,
whatever you are, deacons,
sisters and brothers, whatever in Christ. Let's start some conversations. Let's
talk about some stuff.
Let's talk about some real stuff and let's get some real support within the church. So if there are any pastors out there that, you know, want to start some group, you know, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do to support our community, support one another, not pointing the fingers at one another, but really getting to the deep down issues about why, you know, we do some of the things that we do. Yeah. And church, we got to do better.
We do.
Amen.
We need to do that.
So this has been the Pages Speak. We're so glad that you joined us. You can check us out on many social media outlets. I know she's going to put it on at the screen. You can subscribe to our YouTube.
Yes.
Please subscribe to our YouTube.
Go on to the podcast, Anchor.
Yes.
Podcast.
Yes.
Go on to
check it out.
Now, Spotify.
Yeah.
The Pages Speak.
Please.
It's on Instagram.
And like, share. Also, next week, this is a good one. Can there be real love before healing?
Come on.
And this is with our guest, Pastor Tom Ray will be coming on, or Dr. Tom Ray will be coming on,
Tom Ria.
Okay. Can there be real love without healing? So that's something that we really need to talk about because we got a lot of people jumping into relationships saying it's love, but it's a whole lot of baggage. So join us next week. The Pages Speak, 9 p.m. I'm Stephanie Page.
And I'm Jonathan Lee Page.
We're the Pages Speak. Talk to you soon.